What's up, everybody? This is your host, SB Sanchez, and we are back. Alexis, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Very nervous, but I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Have you been on a podcast before?
I've never been on a podcast. I've done like video interviews, but like not like just video straight.
Yeah. So this was less stressful for you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Yeah. You could have shown up in your PJs today.
Yeah.
All right. So I haven't seen you in a couple years.
Yes.
I have a million and one questions.
I'm ready.
But first, who the heck are you? I've never met you before. What are you saying? Because this is why I ask, okay? Because to be honest with you, I would have done your intro for you, but you have too many things, okay? You're a photographer. You're a digital creator. You got your own brand.
Yeah.
You're basically famous on TikTok. I have not opened TikTok ever without seeing at least you one time.
What, really?
In case you wanted to know that, yes.
No, that's crazy.
Yes, I always see your videos. Sometimes don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes I do, like when you refer to Love Island, because I have definitely binged through that. But other times I'm like, she's just talking, I'm just going to listen, and I don't know what she's talking about, but I'll like it and just keep going. So that's why I ask you, what is it that you do? What is your title? What are you up to?
I feel like I wear so many hats. I didn't realize it until this year. I was like, holy crap, I do like a lot of shit. Like I do a lot of things. And like to this point, like it's been like 8 months into the year and I'm still hanging by a thread, but like slowly making it. But, I'm very much like a fashion content creator. I'm very much shooting for a creative director. I really want to be a creative director in the fashion world. So like working on different, concepts for like fashion brands and, kind of just like even with my own brand doing that as well. I feel like that's kind of like a stepping stone to getting to where I really want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm just like a all around fashion content creator, creative director. So.
Okay. And we'll break it down more because I know you've got a million things.
Yeah.
My first question for you, I feel like this is fitting. Let's do a fit check. What do you have on today?
Oh, gosh. Okay. One thing about me is I always have to dress up no matter where I go. Like, I knew I could have came in, like, you know, very loungewear, but just I feel like it's, like, ingrained in my mind that I have to, you know, I just feel like if I don't dress up, like, I'm just not going to be the best that I could.
Perform the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm wearing this shirt from, what is it, Born Star? It's this Brooklyn-based streetwear brand, and I'm wearing these thrifted pants that I got from Alabaster Thrift Store, which is the best thrift store in the world, I'm
right.
gonna say. I'm wearing some Adidas that I also got in New York, and a hell of a lot of random accessories that I just threw on to...
You probably don't even know where you got half that stuff.
I don't. Not one place.
I love it.
But I will say I got this ring. It's like this really chunky... like kind of like Y2K boho type ring from I can't remember the name of it, but I got it from New York as well.
Okay.
So it's like my holy grail.
Speaking of New York,
yeah,
that's the plan.
Yes
Tell me a little bit about that.
So ever since I was younger, I've always wanted to live in New York. Growing up in Alabama, it's always kind of been weird, like finding people that are kind of like me, like in the fashion world, but also outside the fashion world.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been very like eclectic and just creative. And like, I'm an only child too. So like, I had so much time to really just like learn about myself and learn things that I love to do. And I think that's where I found my passion for fashion, just like straight off the bat, like my aunts, seeing them dress up and like me always being around them. But I knew ever since I was younger, I wanted to move to like a more, very busy city. So like New York or even just like LA or even Atlanta. But I feel like New York has always been like the place I belong to be when I was older. So
how many times have you visited?
So I visited once when I was 14. It was for, I think it was like for one of my computer classes. We just took like a trip to New York.
Okay.
And then, I went the second time back in February, for New York Fashion Week. And then I went 2 weeks ago for a social media volunteer opportunity that I had, with Envision Fest, which is this amazing festival that really uplifts like women of color and femmes of color.
Love that.
And I plan to go back in 2 weeks for New York Fashion Week again. So I, at this point, I just feel like I need to move there now. Yeah,
no, for sure. Or else your flight tab is just going to keep being ridiculous.
Ridiculously, like, crazy.
Flights are not cheap right now.
They're not.
So as you know, I'm from Washington.
Oh,
and
I didn't know that.
This year, I haven't been back home. What? Specifically for that reason. Because it's just like, flights are insane. Yes. And I'd rather pay for a flight because, you know, taking time off work because, you know, I'm an adult now. So I got adult things to do, adult responsibilities, bills to pay.
Bills.
But now I used to, when I was like a freshman, when I first moved down here to go to school, I used to go like 2 times a year, bare minimum, sometimes 3. Because I would like be comfortable with going for Thanksgiving week, right? When we would have off school and I'd be off of soccer. But then probably ever since COVID, flights got super expensive. And now it's like, I have to be more intentional about when I choose to go because I need it to be worth it. It's like, if I'm going to drop half of my paycheck, I need to be there for at least a couple weeks
or
more. So now it's like, I feel like I only get to go home 1 time a year, 2 if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
So
I will say, like, even flying from Birmingham, I think Birmingham is the most expensive.
For why?
And
for why?
It's
their
crazy.
Planes are this big.
I know, right?
What am I paying for?
Yeah.
There's no extra wings on these. Like, it's ridiculous. I will fly out of Atlanta.
Yes.
I will make that drive.
100%.
Leave my car there just so that, and I can get a direct flight.
Yeah.
You're not getting a direct flight out of Birmingham to Seattle.
Yeah.
I'm going to get on a little dinghy. Then I'm going to have to transfer over to a real plane and then land in Seattle.
And then, like, I think it is the layovers are, like,
ridiculous.
2 hours.
Yes.
Like, when I went to New York 2 weeks ago, I think it was storming. So I went from Birmingham. I think I stopped in Charlotte and then Charlotte back to New York. And then my layover, they canceled my flight, first off. So I was stuck at the airport for, like, maybe like 4 hours, maybe 5 hours. And I had to find me another flight to get to New York. And I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, why am I going through all this? But I don't know.
Yeah. There are some horror stories
of
airports that I have. I had to, like, there was one where it got canceled and I slept.
What?
For like a whole, I had to be there a whole day, a whole extra day.
Oh my God,
so my layover went from like an hour and a half to like a day and a half. And I was like, perfect.
Like, it's ridiculous.
Just surviving off of airport Chick-fil-A.
Oh my gosh.
We are going to make
it
through this. They do. I will
say.
And also, I was stuck at the one in Dallas, which is relatively decent as far as like space, and it's not the worst. So I was like, okay, I've got enough here
to survive.
But I was still upset. I mean, nobody, you're not planning to sleep on the floor.
Yes.
No one plans for that. So
it's
but yeah, I really wanted to bring you on the podcast today because obviously what you know about, I don't really know anything about. I was a tomboy when I was younger, and nowadays I prefer the same type of clothing, which
is
shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
But I like to think that I look good in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yes.
So, but yeah, you know something about the fashion world that I don't even begin to comprehend. So that's why I have like a million questions for you.
Yeah.
And I think the connection here for me is that there are a lot of people that struggle with body dysmorphia and like negative self-image.
Yes.
That's like a huge thing.
Yeah.
It's something that I struggle with, that I've always struggled with. And you can usually, it results in like a lack of confidence, our ability to be able, you even mentioned it today, like you don't feel like you can perform the same if you don't have a good outfit on.
Yeah.
You know? So there are connections that I've definitely seen between like somebody's ability to like feel good in their clothing and then feel good about themselves in turn.
For sure.
Right. And so that's like kind of the mental aspect that I want to just pick your brain about today. Cause like I said, I definitely know very little about the fashion world. So you do have to earn your rite of passage. So I have to ask you the prime question.
Yes.
If I asked you to define mental health, what would it mean to you?
So I would say, I feel like my definition of mental health has changed a lot from different stages in my life. So like when I was like 10, first hearing the term mental health, and then when I was 16, hearing about it, and then 18, and then now being 24, I feel like it's grown in lots of ways that's really helped me kind of figure out myself. I would say like mental health is just really putting yourself first and then seeing what it is in your life that has led you to kind of like where you are mentally. Mm. So like whether it be, I know everyone goes through different things, like, you know, different traumas or just different things that people have said about you or just like a big combination of things, and just finding ways to self-soothe yourself in it and then just making it more easier for yourself to perform as your best or be your best self. But yeah, I feel like that's like where I am currently with the term mental health.
Yeah, kind of being like, I guess, more aware
yeah.
of the things that maybe aren't the best for yes, mental health. And then sure. separating those things like, okay, this does work to yeah. calm me down, soothe me, get me through the day. Yeah. And I think kind of like you said, it does change.
Yeah,
mental health is one of those things that you have to continue to work on for because sure. you're not the same person that you were 10 yes. years ago. Oh, yeah. And you're not going to be the same person in
the next coming year.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. And anything can happen in life, right? Yeah. So something that's consistent today, blink of an eye, that changes. It's now different. You have to have a whole different game plan to being yes. able to manage all the things that come yeah. with life. So that's a great definition.
Thank you.
My second question for you. Now, this is a question I have been waiting all day to ask you. What is demure?
Demure, oh my
gosh. Please explain, because I have seen it everywhere, okay? Yes. And I know it started from, like, one specific video.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was somebody, like, showing off an outfit or yeah. something of that nature. So what is it?
So I'm just now learning, like, a different definition of what I thought demure was. So it turns out, I'm the type of person, I'll give you like the most random facts, but like they are kind of helpful too.
Right.
So demure originally came from, it was like some interview that Nicki Minaj did like okay. years ago, back in like 2014. And I think it was, what's her name? Like Kelly Ripa or something like that. Mm. But she was saying that Nicki Minaj was dressing very demure. Okay. And then Nicki was even like, what the heck does that even mean? And then it kind of just like died out. And then I think it was earlier this year, a creator, she's a transgender woman. Her name is Jules LeBron. Okay. She kind of brought up the term demure. And she was just like very mindful. It's kind of just like a way of living, I think. It's like, you know, you're mindful, you're very like classy, you know, not trying to like rock the boat or anything. That's kind of how I look at demure.
Yeah.
It's very like, what's the best way? Like maybe like Ariana Grande, for example. I think she's very demure. She's very like, you know, put together, like from what we see, like she's, you know, straight, just like, you know, princess
yeah,
type
yeah.
thing, but in a good way type princess.
It's so funny because people are using it to describe the most random things.
Yes.
Like I saw a reel today, and it was actually somebody's boyfriend.
Okay.
And he was pretending to like be his girlfriend packing the car.
Oh, okay.
So he was like bringing my Stanley, bringing an extra pair of clothes, yes. bringing my 5 notebooks. Very demure. Like, it was demure. Really funny, but it's been going crazy. Yes. And I knew that it had stemmed from oh, yeah. something fashion, clothing related. So yes. that's why I wanted to ask you, because I thought I understood kind of what it was. And that's, I mean, now I feel like it's just a way to describe kind of that vibe that you were explaining. Yes. It's yeah. like just that very, I don't know, like subtly princessy type yes, of vibe. Yeah. So.
And I feel like a lot of people try to like make it like this negative term. Like mm-hmm. it's always going to be those people that's kind of like, oh, well, like, are you calling somebody else, you know, not demure, like trashy? But it's like, no, like, I think it's really just like a way to describe something that you really like and something that's like, what do they call it? Like a green flag or something like that. Mm, so like, yeah. oh, like, you know, my boyfriend's very demure. Like my girlfriend's very demure. Like it's like that type of thing.
Yeah.
Of
for
like,
sure.
yeah. So yeah. I would say.
I like that.
Yeah.
Now getting more into some of your stuff. So you have your own brand.
Yes.
Explain that to me.
Yeah. So, I have my own clothing brand called Alexis Young Brand. And the brand is really based around vintage or thrifted pieces that I find, whether it be like close to my home or even when I'm like traveling, I'll always go to a thrift store because I feel like thrift stores are where you're going to find really good pieces that last forever. And I just finished up, this kind of has to do with it, but kind of doesn't, but I just finished my internship with Magic City Fashion Week. And the CEO, Daniel Greer, he really, so the internship lasted from January to this, actually this week, I just ended it. But Daniel's always kind of been very, encouraging of shopping more clean or more, you know, fashion friendly. So he really helped me discover that some of these places that I've been shopping just were not best for the environment, but also just not good for, you know, just us as people. I feel like we very much love to hoard clothes, like just buy things and never wear it.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted my brand to be a way of not only making people feel comfortable, like who they are, but also helping the environment and just helping kind of finding like those gems in your closet. So you don't have to always be searching for something to wear or, you know, worry like, is this good enough or does this look good enough? It's kind of just like, you know, just having like that one piece in your closet that you know you can turn to wear if you have nothing else.
Yeah.
But also just thinking of the environment as well.
So. Yeah. I like the, well, number one, I like the idea of it being eco-friendly because there's not enough of that nowadays. Yes. And to be honest, now you're making me question some of the things that I probably have in my closet. I will say I'm very intentional about once a year, right around this time, because I just did it. You'd be proud of me. I just did this probably like 3 weeks ago, I think. 3 weeks ago, I went through and was like, okay, what have I not barely worn or what have I not worn at all? And I really try to be intentional about like going through like my winter clothes that I know I won't be wearing and then donating it. So, cause like a lot of people struggle to have like coats and kind of winter clothes to get through.
For sure.
And so like I try to be intentional about giving away some of whatever I have that I really don't need so that somebody else who probably needs it a lot more than me can take advantage of it.
For sure.
Yeah. But I also like the idea of like taking something and like finding a way to make it your own too.
Yes.
Cause like when you go into a thrift store, it's like these are things that somebody has owned before you and they wore it one way, but now you have the ability to kind of take it in and make it yours.
Yes.
Which I really like.
Yeah, I definitely, and I think maybe it was right before I graduated. That's when I actually really started getting into like reworking clothes and like really prioritizing what I had in my closet. Cause I feel like I'm the type of person, like I will buy, well, I used to buy so much stuff from so many places and then, you know, months go by and I'm just like, when did I buy this? Like, when did I first get this? Like, this is like so not me anymore, or it just doesn't fit me anymore or anything like that. And so I really just started thinking like, how do I want my closet to look when I'm older? And like, if I do choose to have children, like, you know, what's something I could pass down to them, whether it be like reworked or just not even like reworked at all and just thrifted or something like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Speaking of like transitional periods, so I need some advice. I feel like I went through a period of my life, like I said, was very tomboy. And then I was an athlete. And like, that's all I ever knew. So reality is like, I've spent a lot of my life in like shorts, t-shirts, sweatpants. Yeah. I feel like now that I'm getting older, I'm really diving into like what my actual career is going to be for the next handful of years.
Yeah.
I'm having such a difficult time like figuring out what my new style is, I guess. And I don't think that I've ever had a true opportunity to like express my femininity. Like I've always had to shelter it a little bit because within the spaces that I grew up in and even within like the athletic world, we're just seen as like these tough, resilient humans. Yeah. And so I think like sports clothing is just kind of like it's simple. It's durable, right? You can sweat in it. You can run whatever you need to do. It's not necessarily like cute and fluffy all the time, right? And so now I'm in this weird transitional period where it's like I'm struggling to wrap my head around, like, I guess accepting my ability to now express that.
Yes.
And I know like a handful of retired athletes, they go through that same where it's like, we're looking at a closet and we're like, wait, we have to dress professionally.
Like what's going
on? Uniform's not going to work. Not today, right? Yeah. So how do I go about, I guess, finding that for myself?
So I will say like, even when like my friends from college that were athletes as well, like they're always asking me the same question. They're like, they're always FaceTiming me and they're like, okay, Alexis, like I have this thing that I need to go to, like, what should I wear? And I always feel like you should be comfortable no matter what you're doing, especially for athletes. And like seeing the rise of especially women's basketball and the way they're really being pushed in the fashion world, like definitely. I've been obsessed with that.
Yeah,
like I feel even with Angel Reese, for example, mm-hmm. I love how, you know, she can go straight into, you know, like this whole fashion look, but also you can tell like she's not changing herself, like yeah. she's still yeah. you know, dressing comfortably, but you know, making a statement at the same time. But I think like making sure you're comfortable and then finding people that are also athletes as well that are, you know, kind of put in like the spotlight of like what they're wearing, kind of taking inspiration from them, but also like not, you know, changing yourself. You know, I feel like fashion's changed so much since COVID. Like
yeah, definitely.
People are very much more, you know, laid back when it comes to like their outfits, especially in streetwear.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I definitely get a lot of inspiration from, or at least I try to like tell my friends, you know, look at like, you know, an everyday like streetwear look, but not, you know, taking away, you know, that comfortability that mm-hmm. you have.
And like adding my personal touch to it too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
I like that.
Yeah.
Now, clothes is something that can be really powerful. You've mentioned a couple of times now, like you can kind of like send a message. And in today's world, sometimes there are things that maybe we don't feel like we're allowed to say out loud.
Yeah.
Or there are things that are taboo to talk about. And I've found that in today's world, sometimes fashion is the way that people send those messages. Yeah. What are some examples of like some really powerful messages that you've seen through fashion, like as of recently?
I was just thinking about this earlier because I was like, what has been one moment where no words had to be said and it was just mm-hmm. like the outfit? But the only person I can really think of that does that is like my inspiration, Rihanna. I feel like Rihanna doesn't have to say a word. She could just be quiet. Right. She just goes somewhere and like you see her outfit and like you just know what she's thinking off the top of her head. And so I would say like Rihanna for sure. And like, I feel like we see a lot of examples in like streetwear fashion, like even Kanye, like I don't know what he has going on right now, but
right.
I feel like with him, you know, even like how he dresses now, it could be like the most solid like all black outfit, but you know, like, you know, it's Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like that reference of like, this is how Kanye is, but he's showing it in whether it be like a jacket that he's wearing or even looking back, I was doing like some research a couple of days ago for a TikTok that I was making about kind of how they're like recycled trends. So when it comes to like the 70s, I feel like we're seeing a lot of like reference to the 70s and like even like I have so many celebrity references. I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
But like Sabrina Carpenter, for example, like right. her new album dropping, it's very like 70s.
Yeah.
With, you know, the dress that she's wearing, like the symbol heart that she's always, you know, she's been spotted wearing, or even like the Black Panthers and the whole like Black Lives Matter movement. And with mm-hmm. that, you know, they were always wearing very sharp, cutting edge, all black outfits.
Yeah.
It's just small things like that, that kind of give you like that symbol of like, okay, you know, they're not saying much, but it's like a reference to, you know, previous generations or even just creating like this new generation as well.
It's like a nonverbal cool. statement.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of times, sometimes those nonverbal statements can be more powerful than someone trying to put into words.
Yes.
What it is they're attempting to express.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
Obviously, your brand kind of has its own way of doing that. Sending yeah. the message of like, we don't always need to go have the newest, shiniest thing to yeah. feel good, look good, perform well. What is another message that you yourself have like shown before through your clothing?
So I will say, I feel like I'm still kind of trying to get to where I want to when it comes to even like my own clothing brand or just myself, because like my whole life I've kind of dealt with a lot of, I can never say the word right. Is it adversity?
Adversity.
Adversity, mm-hmm. yeah. I've always kind of felt Like, I've had a lot of that, just from not only being an only child and, like, having parents that, you know, a little bit on the older side, or even just, like, even in high school, like, there was just, like, a certain time, I don't remember when it was, but I kind of just branched off to, like, my own type of, like, world.
Okay.
Where I definitely started learning about what it is I like to identify with or just, like, dress like. I feel like it's just changed so much, like, and now that I'm considered free, I'm not in school anymore, and I'm kind of just, like, finding my own way, I've kind of just allowed myself to dress how I wanted to when I was younger, or what I would like to see when I was, like, younger, kind of like that older sister that I always wanted to be to myself. So yeah, I'm just kind of just all over the place, like, very much a mix of, like, feminine and masculine, kind of mixing those two together and, like, taking inspiration from, you know, like, my favorite movies I watched when I was younger, or like Y2K, because I love Y2K. Mm-hmm. Kind of just, like, taking inspiration from, like, from what I wanted when I was younger that I never had.
Okay. So. That's pretty cool. If you had to choose your favorite brands, and you're not allowed to say your own, okay. Other than your own, who would you say you relate the closest to brand-wise?
I would say...
You're like, I don't want to say anyone but my own brand.
I was like, maybe if I slip it in, she would have noticed. I would say brands like Kid Super. I've really been into Kid Super lately. They're kind of like... They take a mix of like streetwear, but like... that childish type of streetwear. And the creative of Kid Super is he's very eclectic in himself too.
Yeah.
So I definitely like look up to Kid Super. And then,
didn't, Cordell yes. wear something? So Cordell, who was the winner of Love Island along yeah. with Serena.
Yeah.
I was like, hold on. Got to fact check. Because I'm also watching The Bachelorette right now. So I got to keep things separate.
Oh my gosh,
but
yes.
He wore that
yeah.
for the reunion, which was like the brown, blue top and hat that he had on.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It got so much controversy over it. But also it's like, I think that's why I like it so much, is because
why was it controversial?
I think a lot of people were kind of just like, oh, he's not dressed for the reunion. He's not dressed correctly. But also, like, I don't think there was any, like, you know, set stone, like, rules of what to wear.
Right.
And so I think he was very much thinking, like, fashion forward with that, though. Like, it was playful, but also it was, like, upscale at the same time.
Yeah. You know? Well, and it fit his character.
Yeah.
Like, he was a very goofy, yes. vibrant individual, like, on the show. That's how he is in real life.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think he was just finding a way to be able to express that, even in a moment that was supposed to be, I guess, a little bit more like serious
yeah.
in a way.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about. It's like, fashion is supposed to be that.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be our, like, we have the power to express ourselves in a different way other than looking at somebody and being like, this is who I am.
Yes.
Now they can look at you and be like, that's who they are.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
I was going to ask you a question about color.
Yeah.
So obviously it's like, when I'm attempting to put an outfit together, whatever it is, I'm very like color coordinated. And usually yeah. I'll start with my shoes because I have a lot of shoes.
Yeah.
That's like kind of my irresponsible addiction is shoes. And so whatever shoes I want to wear on that day, usually I'll just color coordinate with whatever I got on. But
yes.
I also know, because of my background in psychology, that like colors have the ability to like set a mood, and
yeah.
also different colors like alter and trigger different emotions in humans too.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I ask you right now one word, when I say the word red, what do you think?
Blue.
Well, not a color.
Oh, okay.
Like,
like
an emotion. If I say red, what makes you think of red?
Fire.
Okay. I say like blue, what emotion?
Calm.
Good. And then like yellow.
Happy.
Yeah. So it's like there's like this universal bubble around colors,
yeah.
what they stand for. So like red is also like anger. That's something that I think
yes.
of a lot, right? So how does color have the ability to like set a mood when
Ooh.
You choose an outfit?
I would say, honestly, even before this interview, I had never realized how much color really does, like, affect your, like, how you dress or, like, your day. And that kind of made me, like, I guess, look back at a lot of outfits I've been wearing, like, previously, and be like, oh, maybe that's why I wore this today, or maybe that's why I, like, you know, dressed in, like, this whole outfit of, like, this certain color. But I feel like, for me, it's just a lot of my closet is nothing but darker tone colors, very, like, dark greens or even reds or even black, or even just, like, a darker blue. I think whenever I do get dressed, I kind of think of, like, what is the, not persona, but I guess the persona I'm really feeling that day. Am I going for, like, a cool girl? Because I feel like I kind of resonate with, like, a cool girl mindset, or at least I'm trying to get myself in that mindset of, like, oh, I just hit the mic. I feel like I'm trying to kind of get into the mindset of, I guess, into, like, manifesting, or kind of, like, manifesting what I want to see myself be in the future. So I think that's kind of why I'm always dressed in, like, darker colors too, is because for me, it's always been, you know, I can always be mismatch with different colors, but in, like, this color palette of, like, darker tone colors of, you know, I'm cool, but I'm also really chill. I'm kind of to myself a lot. Like, I don't really do much, like, going out and stuff. But if I do go out, I'm going to wear, like, this really cute, like, you know, a darker tone outfit that's, like, I'm not the one to mess with, but, like, I'm really chill at the same time.
No, for sure. I feel like, for myself, when I go, I've found that when I go to the gym, I'm having a hard time, like, accepting color into my closet. Because for me, like, the gym is just go time. And it only feels right when I have, like just straight black on. Or even, it's like a dark blue, or like a darker gray. Like, I don't know why. It's just because I was, that's why I brought it up, because I was thinking about, like, even though, but let's say I'm going to, like, a picnic or something outdoors, then I tend to, like, desire to wear brighter colors, like flowery patterns and things of that nature. And even today, and obviously I knew I was going to be sitting down with you, and I had finished going to the gym, which I did, in fact, wear all black too. And then today I was like, I feel like I just need to wear some color so that she doesn't think that all I have is just black clothes. So I have purple on, for anybody listening. I have purple. I have turquoise on my shoes. Can you see my shoes?
I didn't, I don't think I saw your shoes. Okay, I love the shoes.
Yeah, I
love
so I got turquoise. So I made sure to wear some color. But yeah, it was something I was thinking about, because I was like, I do feel like color plays a big part, like what we choose to wear that day and what color is included in it kind of, I guess, sets the tone for how we plan on feeling that day. And it made me think of, I mean, not to get dark and depressing, but, like, funerals. The universal color for funeral is just dark. But then when I think of, like, dark colors, like dark gray and black, like, I do think of, like, dark things. More of, like grief would be definitely something that I think about. So, yeah, it's interesting to think about what color choices we make when we walk out the door.
And, like, now that you, like, bring that up, like, I feel as though so many things I've been through in my life has kind of brought me to, like, where I am with my color palette. Like, I feel like we're getting really, really dark. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
But I've had a lot of deaths in my family, so I think just, like, subconsciously, I was just always like, you know, I have to wear, like, this dark color to this funeral, or just, like, this really sad, you know, like, passing. But it would just, I don't know, just subconsciously, I guess, it's just always stuck with me to just really like darker colors. Or maybe I just like Halloween a lot. Like, that's my favorite holiday. So, I always take inspiration from, like, Halloween and, like, watching horror movies my whole life. So I think that's why I'm kind of like, I like so many darker colors. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's just what makes you feel more comfortable. Kind of like what we were referring to earlier. Like, I'm going to be honest, I feel more comfortable in, like, simple black whites. That's always, well, okay. So my shoes can be a little bit more vibrant. I found that. Like, I have a pair of Jordans that are, have like that. They're the starfish ones. The brown and the, like, the burnt orange.
Yeah.
But if you look at what outfit I wear with it, I promise you it's like so the simplest pair of jeans and, like, a white crop top. every time.
Yeah.
If you like everyone, I do have like that same type of orange crop top.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot for me to wear. I just don't feel as comfortable in it.
For sure.
So, and it stuck with me because I think that's how I've always been.
Yeah.
Even when it comes to like when I played soccer, my preference, because I played for Montevallo, so they've got the purple, the gold, and then the like white, black, universal, right? Yeah. I always preferred our white jerseys.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like, me feel demure. It makes me feel crispy.
Yeah.
Like it makes me feel crispy. Like it's just clean. I'm ready to go.
Yes.
Like that's always how I felt. But when I had to put on our purple jerseys, I definitely felt more discomfort just knowing that I probably looked like a grape.
Oh no, not the grape.
But our jerseys were really nice. I'll say that.
Yes.
So I think everybody just has like those colors that they probably just feel more comfortable in.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about confidence. Right. So when you are attempting to put on an outfit that resembles you just feeling confident, like let's say you're going to go to like an interview, what tips do you have?
Oh gosh. I will say, I feel like it depends on the interview or wherever I'm applying to. Very cringe story. I applied for my first corporate job, which was a very bad idea.
Right.
I don't think I'm a corporate. I'm not an office, what they call it, office siren or something like that.
Okay.
I'm not that.
Okay.
But even for that interview, like I only have a couple items in my closet that was going to work for that interview. And I think I just stuck to like a white top. And then I had like these khaki like pants, like a dark khaki color. And then I think I don't really have a lot of shoes for those type of like things as well.
Mm.
I kind of just threw on, okay, I'm sorry. I have something to say. Can I say dick stompers? Cause I don't know the other term for the
shoes. No, you're good. You are all good.
I don't know the other term for the shoes, but I call them like these really, they're creepers. The Rihanna creepers. Mm. I wore those like all black shoe. I call them dick stompers cause I can't think of the actual term for them, but, I wore those. I think it just depends on the interview, though. Like, I've had very casual interviews where I could just go in and just dress straight streetwear and just, you know, still have, like, a hint of, like, professionalism with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just depends on, like, what the work environment is and, you know, other people that work there as well trying to, like, get into, like, a mindset of what are they wearing. So, like, doing your research before and making sure, like, you aren't breaking any dress codes or, you know, you're not – like overdressing or underdressing. I think it just really depends on like the atmosphere of that job.
Yeah, I agree for sure. Let's take the interview out of the picture. For you, what do you feel like instills the most confidence in you when it comes to what you choose to wear?
I would say, I feel like now when I get dressed, I will be totally complete with myself if I just had jewelry on.
Because
I used to wear jewelry a lot, but like now I'm actually focusing on accessorizing because it really changes, you know, how you feel during the day. So whether it be just like a couple rings or even just like a necklace or even earrings, just something that's going to add another layer onto like what you're wearing. Cause usually I wear nothing but jeans. I love wearing jeans all the time.
Mm.
And even when I'm not wearing jeans, like sometimes I feel kind of like, just like not like myself. I'm like, I need to wear like a really cool pair of jeans. So even if I reworked it or if I just like got it from some store, as long as I guess have jeans on or just like some really cool jewelry that I'm like, I could do this like all day.
You feel
I'm like,
confident. Yeah.
Just feel confident. Just like myself.
How did you find that connection? Because like I said, there are some people like myself who are starting from like ground zero.
Yeah.
So how do you make that connection between like, okay, confidence and whatever you chose to wear?
I will say, I think the people that you are around or the environment that you're in is really going to help find yourself in like your style journey or because I know going from Montevallo, it was, you know, everyone kind of just was always wearing casual clothes.
Yeah, for sure.
And I love wearing casual clothes like all the time. But I always knew like I wanted to kind of, you know, dress the extra mile a little bit. So like even if I was going to the calf, like I would still like wear something that made me feel as if I was already living the life I wanted to. So like if I was in New York, even though like we're in this small town in Montevallo, like, you know, just dressing how I would want to see myself dress in the future. And then also the people that you're around too, Like, I love my friends to death, and like, all my friends can dress down. I don't know if you're going to listen to this, but I love y'all. Like, y'all the real ones. But, kind of seeing how they dress as well, and even like going outside your comfort zone and going to these different places like New York or Atlanta, like seeing how people dress, I feel like when you're around people that dress the way that you aspire to, that's when you're going to show up as your best self, because you'll take inspiration from it and be like, oh, like, I love what they're wearing. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of want to, you know, take inspiration from that and kind of put my own twist on it. So
for somebody who's struggles with like body dysmorphia and has a hard time like having a positive self-image, what advice do you have to them when it comes to like what they decide to wear?
I think for me, I feel like I have a little bit of body dysmorphia in a way, just because something happened like a week ago where I've always been like really skinny my whole life. Like, that's just always been like how I was, and seeing like the media and like seeing, you know, these really cute outfits on these people and being like, oh, I wish I could wear that. But like, I don't have any like titties. I don't really have an ass. Like, yeah. I don't really have these things. Like, it kind of caused like a little bit of body dysmorphia in me, because it's like how I see myself isn't how I would see an outfit on somebody else versus me.
Okay, yeah.
And then back to what happened last week, I went somewhere and this lady was like, oh, you need to start eating more. Like, you're really thin. And I was like, oh, like, it's my first time hearing that. That was crazy. Like, I don't know why they would say that. And so I came back home and I was like, Mom, like, am I really that thin? And she was like, well, I mean, you get it from me. Like, my mom, she's really small. Like, she's a small little woman. And she's just like, well, I mean, you get it from me. You know, you've always kind of been that size. And then that kind of like really triggered me, because I was like, holy shit. Like, I've never realized that before.
Yeah.
And so, I think like for me, it's always kind of been finding people that dress like me, that are like my size, or like anyone that, you know, maybe a little bit on the bigger side, like finding people that dress a certain way that, you know, you could definitely relate to.
Body type wise.
Yeah, like finding someone that has the same body type as you, and kind of like not letting what you see in the media determine, you know, how something will look on you. Because I think that all just comes into really learning about yourself and learning and just trying out, you know, trial and error with different clothing and just seeing what makes you feel better, because no one else is going to know except you. This is something I've been learning lately, just like not taking the media so seriously when it comes to like dressing and seeing these people or these influencers and how they dress, and just, you know,
it can be really fake.
Yeah.
Right. And then you know, you find yourself comparing.
Yes.
Right. And you're like, wow, she looks really good in that. But I, like, you try it. Let's say you get the same product.
Yeah.
Buy it. Then you try it on and you're like, nope.
This is not it.
Nope. Absolutely not. Yeah. But accepting that that's like not wrong. Like, not every style, not every shirt, pants, whatever, shoe is for every person. And I think comparison can, I guess, try to convince you otherwise.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, if she looks good in it, I need to look good in it too. And it's like, I really don't, actually.
Yeah.
That's a really big thing. I'm sorry. I'm an athlete. I have to, and I'm obsessed with the gym. But one of the biggest things that I have seen recently this year is that like gym attire has, expanded, I would say.
Yeah.
And there, it can be controversial on certain size, where it's like, you know, there are people who think that females don't wear enough in the gym. Then there are others that are like, I should be allowed to wear whatever I want. It can go left, right, whatever you want, however you want to depict that. But one of the things I have seen that I have enjoyed seeing more of is that the idea of like an influencer, right?
Yeah.
A gym influencer. And it's always like a skinny, white, blonde-haired woman.
Yeah.
Right? Now, there's a lot more diversity, yes. which is so nice because now I feel like I am seeing people that look more like me.
Yes.
So yeah. rather than falling to, like comparing myself to people who really it's so unrealistic that I'm like, it doesn't make sense that I'm comparing myself to them.
Yeah.
Like I will never look like Jan.
Yeah.
I'm never going to look like Jan, right? But it then seeing people who look more like me, I feel like that's helped.
Yeah.
And also there's been a trend of certain influencers being like, this is what I look in my, when I take pictures for social media, but then showing like mid lift, like as yeah. they're lifting, you know, the natural rolls that our body make,
yeah.
And just accepting. And I think announcing that it's like, our bodies are not meant to be like these perfect, sculpted yeah. like statues. That's
exactly.
not that's not how that's
it's
not,
not
how it goes.
Normal. It's really not it, like in even I do go to the gym sometimes. I need to get back into it because I kind of feel
oh don't
wagon.
Worry I'm sending you an invite after
but,
this
yes please do. So I think even when I would go to the gym, like before, maybe like during the summertime, I would go to the gym and I would be so nervous to go in because, you know, of course there's going to be a lot of people in there, but it's like this like fear that I realized I had where it's like, I'll go in there and I just feel like I'm not doing what other people are doing mm-hmm. or just like, you know, I'm over here on, what was it? It's like the Stairmaster or something,
right.
really
yeah.
just, you know, trying to get my steps in. And I would see like this girl next to me, and I'm just like, oh gosh, this is intimidating. Like,
right.
I feel like, I mean, I know I'm already small, but also it's like, even like as a small person, it's like, we feel like we need more.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, you know, you see like these people that look like Instagram models that are like, you know, mm-hmm. right next to you on the Stairmaster, really putting their work in. And you're just like, oh my gosh, like I really want to look like that. But like, it's not,
yeah.
it's not possible.
Yeah.
You know, and just like trying to make peace with the way that I look. And then, not letting other people around me like
define
that.
Whether or not that's like right.
Yeah.
yeah. And I think, I mean, we could say this about the gym. We could say this about fashion, how you choose to style yourself. But
yeah.
just in general, I think that we have a hard time like accepting an identity just for ourselves.
Yes.
It's more difficult to do that than to try to find something else to, I guess, simulate, right? So
yeah.
it's easier for me to be like, oh, I really want to look like her. Let me
yeah.
start eating like her. Let me start working out like her. Let me start dressing like her. Let me start talking like, it's a lot easier to do that
yeah.
than I feel like put in the work in trying to find your own identity
yeah.
within your style, within the way that you announce yourself to the world, within the
yeah.
way that you present to society when you do decide to go out or go to a bar or whatever it is that
yeah.
you may be doing. That's a lot more difficult.
Yeah, it's so much more difficult. Like, and even like thinking about it, even with one of my exes, it was like he was a gym buff. Like
right.
he was in the gym all the time. And it was one of those things, kind of like what you said, like just not letting someone else kind of like dictate or like, you know, shape how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It was always like, oh, well, you need to be eating this. You need to be doing that. You need to go to the gym at this time that I go, just so I make sure like you're doing everything right. And it's like you lose yourself during that because it's like, I can't make myself who you want. I just have to be who I need to be for myself.
Yeah.
When it comes to things like that.
Yeah.
So.
It made me think of a question. What are your thoughts on uniforms? Because that's another...
Oh, gosh.
Very, you know, contradicting topic.
I will say I do like uniforms. I do, like, especially lately because I haven't always been, like, that too in-depth when it comes to, like, athletes' uniforms and stuff. But after the Olympics, I really was focusing on, like, what everyone was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, and
there was
like
a lot of brands.
So
there was
many.
The one of the track athletes, and she was wearing her own brand. And
what?
One, so she, oh, I really wish I could remember who it was.
Oh my gosh.
But so she, okay, so she competed in the Olympics
yeah.
prior to this one. And the brand that had, oh my gosh, I really need to look this up. But the brand that sponsored her was Nike, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like all for her, supporting her. She had her contract with them, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
She got pregnant.
Okay.
And they like took away
what?
A bunch of the benefits that were listed within her contract
oh.
because her image didn't fit. Okay. So then she dropped Nike, created her own brand, wore her own brand at this Olympics, and won some type of medal, at least.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So, like, that's a really cool example of somebody just being like, nope, I'm going to be me in my own skin and
making the rules as it should. I love that, especially in sports. Like, there's so many limitations. Like, and even when I was doing dance, I did dance team in college. Even with dance team, like, we had dealt with so much, like, so many different rules of what we could wear and, like, you know, finding different uniforms and things like that. But it would always be the one that we did end up choosing. It was like, it wasn't comfortable enough, or it just wasn't like, it didn't fit everyone's body sizes. That was the main problem, was like, it just would not fit right. And so I feel like with some uniforms, it's like, I'm always like, I'm down for a good uniform. I feel like even making your own uniform, like the track star did, like, that's amazing.
So what about school uniforms? Do you feel like that, I guess, how do I put it? Do you feel like making kids wear uniforms restricts their ability to, like, express themselves?
I think so. I think where I grew up, we never had uniforms, but knowing how I was as a child and, like, seeing my other peers, everyone really needed that expression, especially in Alabama, just because I feel like everyone's kind of stuck to, okay, you know, the cowboy boots, the jeans, things like that. But I just feel like uniforms kind of take away that freedom of expression. I feel like in a way it kind of, it doesn't, I will say it doesn't distract people as much when it comes to the learning aspect, but also it's like, kids need that expression because you're stuck in school for like 8 hours a day, you know, or however long of time you're in school for. And it's like, maybe it's just my ADHD or something, but it's just like, imagine like wearing like a certain uniform and just like seeing myself in it all day. I'm like, this is getting boring. This is getting really boring. Like, yeah,
kind of like we said before, like, an outfit does have the ability to, like, set the mood for the day. So if you are waking up every morning and being like, I'm having to put on the exact same thing every single day, like, school's going to feel like the exact same thing single day. And no human thrives in that type of environment where it's just the same thing on repeat. Like, we need change. We need challenges. We need adversity. We need diverse, like, we need different. We need different just in general. So, something that I was researching before I interviewed you, because I was like, I don't know anything. Let me go ahead and educate myself a little bit on just the correlation between, like, clothing and somebody's mindset, right? So I found this study. It was done at Northwestern University. It was done in 2012. So there's probably some updates that have been done to it, hopefully. But they found that, like, wearing certain clothes has a, like, tangible effect on the wearer's psychology and performance. And I know we kind of talked about performance a little bit at the beginning. So it's this concept that they labeled as enclothed cognition. Right. And it basically, what they did is they took two groups of people, and they had one group of people go into a lab wearing, like, lab coats, and they gave them, like, a set of tasks to do, some sort of, like, small experiment. Right. But they wore, like, the whole duo. They wore dress up clothes underneath. They wore the lab coats on top, and had, like, the goggles that they would wear in the lab. Yeah. Then they had another group of people do similar experiment, but they just wore, like, whatever clothes they came in, whatever they decided to wear on that day. And they set the tone for the experiment, as in, like, just come in casual clothes, whatever, however that person defined it, that's what they came in. And they found that the people who were wearing the lab coats, the whole shebang, they performed better on the completion of the experiment than the other group did.
Oh.
So what are your thoughts on that?
I think it kind of goes with what I was saying like earlier. I think that when you're in an environment where, like, you have to do something like learning, or even just, like, you know, do certain tasks, when you aren't dressed the way, like, of self-expression, and it's just, like, a certain, I guess, uniform, like, you're going to be focused more so on the work itself. Then if you are, you know, wearing whatever you want to, there's going to be maybe, like, some type of, like distractions a little bit, you know, right. You may be wearing something that's like really baggy and then, or like, for example, like baggy pants, and then you find yourself always pulling them up all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I can see that being like a distraction. But yeah, I can see that. I can very much see why.
I can think of a personal example too. So around COVID time, we've all heard it before, but it's like, let's say you had an interview or a meeting, people would get dressed up from like the midsection up, whatever was going to be in the camera. Then people had like a hard time transitioning back towards like having to dress up and things like that. But in myself, I realized like my productivity level like would go down during COVID time. And it's like, yes, it's great to be able to have school from home or do work from home, but I was choosing to wear like sweats all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like baggy sweats, or stay in my pajamas, or just like clothes that I wouldn't necessarily like actually wear to school.
Yeah.
If I was going in person. And I found that like I did find myself being lazier than usual.
Yeah.
And that might have to do also with just the fact that I was just at home.
Yeah.
Right. That's just true. In my own space. But also, like, I feel like if I would have got up in the morning, gone through my normal morning routine, put in the effort to dress up, play the part, I think maybe that could have actually led to me being more productive that day.
Yeah. I think, like, I do think COVID made, like, this huge switch in how people dress and even how we perceive others. Like, it's different because when you like leave the house, especially nowadays, like even though, I mean, COVID's still around, but it's like, you know, everyone's free to kind of just do whatever, just go out wherever. But like when we leave the house or when we know we're going somewhere, it's always that first instinct of, okay, I know I'm going somewhere. So like I need to, you know, put on some, what my mom calls real clothes,
right?
Like real clothes. And I don't know, I just feel like there's like a pros and cons to like the transition from after COVID and like how we all dress now. It's like, you know, people are more comfortable leaving the house and like, you know, their sweats and things of that nature. But then like there's also kind of like this like perceived notion of like, oh, well, I'm very much like underdressed. Like I just know it's going to be a terrible day.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm just not fully dressed to like the way that I guess society considers dressed up or, you know, ready for the day or anything like that. But yeah.
What is your morning routine?
I'm curious. Honestly, I don't have one. I really don't have one.
No structure at
like,
all.
Just no structure.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. Like I know I keep bringing up my ADHD, but I feel like this is like something I'm still learning too, is like, I love routine, but I also don't really like routine just because I love having like a new, like, structure of a day. I know the first thing I do when I wake up is like I go straight to my bathroom and I'm like, okay, girl, what's going on?
Right.
Like, let's see what's going on today.
What am I starting with?
Like, that's what am I starting with?
How does my hair look when I first wake up?
Like, and I'll just be like, okay, let me just start there. And then, you know, I go straight to like my iPad, try to like figure out where the most important things I have to do for the day, you know, kind of, you know, look at emails. I'm trying to like not check my phone first thing in the morning. But
how's
like,
that going for you?
It's not going good. It's not going good. It's going terrible.
It's the effort that counts.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Cause I think like, I think this has been proven before too about like everyone checking their phones first thing in the morning.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you know, you're not supposed to do that. Like it really does like ruin the, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like the blue light or something like that, like the first thing.
Yeah, well, it also can make it difficult to fall asleep, like if you are watching TV or on your phone while also simultaneously supposedly trying to go to sleep. Like it can send signals to your brain that you're actually supposed to be awake because of like the difference in lighting and things like that. So that's kind of what it is.
Like that's kind of like, I just need to stop checking my phone the first thing in the morning. But I try to give myself at least like 10 minutes of like, just don't look at your phone. Don't look on TikTok or Instagram or even Twitter. Like, don't look at Twitter because Twitter is a terrible place. Honestly, it's really bad. But, and I kind of just like go straight from there. I'm like, what's the biggest task? And kind of work my way down and just kind of like give myself some time to eat and things of that nature too. So
yeah my morning routine consists of me just making sure that my when my alarm goes off, stand up, Because if I don't, that's always the first step. As long as I start with that, anything that comes after that usually goes okay. But if I snooze and I'm like, I pull one of the 10 more minutes, it's over with. It's over. So bad. The rest of the day will be regressed after that. Yes. It's guaranteed. No question about it. Okay. End question for you. Why clothing? So you talked about you were an only child. You had a lot of time to explore.
Yeah.
You do a lot of other things, right? You have done your fair share of photography work and like social media and all, the whole shebang. You have your own brand. So obviously clothing has been an outlet for you, outlet of expression. Why clothing?
I will say, I just feel like ever since I was younger, it's always been, you know, Alexis, you're so quiet. Alexis, you're, you know, not as talkative. You're very odd. You're very, like, different. All these other words that I used to take as, like, a terrible thing, but have found a way to, like, switch that narrative for myself and be like, it's okay to be quiet. Like, you don't need to say much when you walk into a room. You really don't have to do a lot as, like, you know, somebody else, like, that, you know, maybe into fashion, but, you know, just depending on them, it's like, you don't have to say much. Just kind of, like, wear what describes you and kind of just go based off of that. And I feel like I've kind of used clothing as just a way of self-expression for me. Like, I feel like you can ask any of my friends, they're like, what's the first thing you think of when you think of Alexis? And they're like, that fashion girl, like that fashion girl, you know. Even I feel like they know me the best to be like, she's having a good day or she's having a bad day based on what she's wearing. And it's just like that automatic like switch of like, okay, well, she's, you know, she's not feeling her best today. She's very like laid back and chill. And I feel like I am still working on being more vocal, but at the same time, it's like I don't really have to try and explain, you know, the deep parts about me to people when I could just kind of just wear something and be like, okay, like she's, you know, feeling this way, or, you know, she has these qualities about her that make her who she is. So.
Yeah. Kind of like solidified your ability to identify.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. If I needed you to put an outfit together for me, how do I find you? Instagram tag, give it to me.
You know, I got you. my Instagram. Oh, I have a lot of Instagrams. I'm sorry.
I know you do, because I try. I found one, then I found two, then I found like two other. It was a hot mess.
It's bad. It's bad on like the management side of
but
things.
But you said the management side of things. But you have certain ones in your bio. Yeah. Like I was able to like link myself.
Yeah.
So which one would be best if I was looking for you to start with?
So my main Instagram is Alexis J. Young. And then I also have one for like my creative directing, which is Lexi Gold Studios, which is like the name of like my creative agency / directing. And then I have my clothing brand, which is at Alexis Young Brand. Okay. And then TikTok, Alexis J. Young. What else is there? Snapchat.
Go ahead
Snapchat.
And drop your phone number at this point. Address, birthday, 1-800. Social security number. No. Okay. But yeah, I just, in case people want to, and what services do you offer?
So right now, I kind of have chopped it down to very simple things I know I can manage. I do like photography and videography and creative consulting with Lexi Gold Studios. And then I do styling as well with my brand. But those are like my main focuses right now.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for hopping on the podcast with me. I really enjoyed this conversation, and you definitely taught me some things today that I probably would have never known unless I asked you. So I really do appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. And to all my listeners, thank you for spending some time with me today as we entangled ourselves in the mental world of fashion and everything that comes with it. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share and subscribe. Catch the next episode next Friday. And as always, our goal is to spread awareness on the importance of mental health as it relates to every person. No matter who you are or what you do, there's not a single person that goes unaffected by mental health. Don't forget, you are mentally entangled in every aspect of your life. See you next time.